Gracious and Heavenly Father God, we thank you. We magnify you. We honor you. We bless you. We just want to praise you right now. We thank you, God, for this awesome time in your presence, Lord. We thank you, Father, for how you woke us up, God, and gave us a right mind and gave us right understanding and gave us a right perspective on knowing and having the opportunity to give you praise, to give you worship, and to give you honor. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Father, that God, even though we may be dealing with all type of circumstances and situations, God, you still favored us, God. You still brought us into a place of your love, and you decided to dwell with us, God, and to meet our every need. So, Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this awesome day in your presence. We thank you, Father, for everything that you have done right now. We thank you, Father, that even in the midst of everything that you have done, everything that you have said, everything that you have given us, we thank you, God, that you are still on the throne. You're still fighting for us. You're still searching after us. You're still looking after us. You're still wanting us to come into a place and a presence like never before. So God, I thank you, Father, for your mighty hand at work over our lives. I thank you, Father, that you are still in the midst of all things, that you are still in the midst of our circumstances and our struggles and our strongholds. God, you are still in the midst of these things. And Lord, Father, we thank you that God, even in that, you give us what we need as far as leading and guiding us by your word. Thank you for your word. So, Father God, thank you for the authority that we have in you. Thank you for the ability, God, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover as according to your word. Thank you for, God, that we know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper as according to your word. And Lord God, I thank you that your word still lives and breathes within us. So Father God, as we begin to step into a supernatural power, we decree and declare right now that God, we come against every struggle, every stronghold, every place of depression, every demonic attack, every demonic force right now. We believe that, God, we have the life, and that we shall have life more abundantly, Father. We shall not be given in by the wiles of the enemy. We shall not be overtaken. But, Lord God, you have given us the victory. There's victory in Jesus. We declare it, we decree it, we stand for it. We thank you, God, that victory is moving over our lives. And, Father, right now I speak that at the sound of my voice, everyone, God, that is on this podcast and will jump on this podcast, I speak restoration over their lives right now. I speak restoration in their families. I speak a supernatural blow, a fresh blowing of the wind that shall revive them right now, that shall give them strength and revive their hope. God, let them know that they are not lost, that they are not forsaken. But Lord God, stand in the midst with them, God. Stand in the pain with them, Father. Father, just like the three Hebrew boys, and Christ stood up in the midst of the fiery furnace, and they begin to praise and shout. Lord God, I speak it right now. To be in existence, therefore, be in existence for whatever the situation they may be and whatever they may be facing. Father, heal their bodies from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. I thank you, God, that healing and restoration is coming to your body, is coming to your people now, is being moved upon them now. The things that the doctors have said and tried to decree, Father God, we cast it down, but we shall believe your report. We shall believe your report of grace, honor, and mercy. We shall believe your report of restoration. Restoration and healing. We shall believe your report of full recovery right now, that all blood sugars and all blood levels and anything that is needed is regulated now, that is coming back into alignment, is coming back into an agreement with the word that you have spoken over us. And God, we thank you that there is still a word. There is still a word that is moving. There is still a word that is flowing. There is still a word that is activating and tearing down and destroying. There is still a word over our lives. And Father God, that word, God, as you said in your word, it shall return back to you and bless you. It shall return back to you. So Father, I speak right now that every gift and calling that you have ordained according to your word for the body, it rise up and falls into alignment. It rise up and fall into the place for which it should be. It rise up and it becomes that what it said to speak, God. So Father God, we thank you that we're not going to fall in this wiles and the tricks of the enemy. But Lord God, we're going to stand flat-footed on your word, and we're going to decree and declare that you are the King of glory, that you are the Lord God, strong and mighty. Who is the King? Yes, God, that is who you are. And Father, we thank you. We honor you. We praise you. We magnify your name right now. We bless you. We honor you. Yes, God, I bless you. I praise you. I just want to worship you right here. I just want to worship you right now. Worship you because you've been so good. Worship you, God, because you've always been there. You've been right there, God, right there in the midst of everything. You've been right there. And God, I thank you. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done, all that you are doing. Lord God and Father God, we come against this virus right now. We command it to go back to the pits of hell from which it came. But Lord God, I thank you that even in this tragic time, or this devastating time, or this inconvenient time, that God, you are still getting your glory. You are still moving by your spirit. You are still walking around, setting things back in order, and challenging the hearts of men to come back to you, Lord. So, Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for full restoration. I thank you for full healing. I thank you for full deliverance right now. I thank you, Father, that you're still performing miracles. You're still doing mighty works. You're still doing mighty acts, God. And I praise you. I praise you. I bless you. God, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for the fresh anointing that's falling upon your people. I thank you, Father, for the conviction in our hearts and minds to turn away from things that would destroy our bodies and destroy our minds, that will not provide glory for you. But Lord God, everything, God, that we have had access to, God, we destroy it now. We destroy any addiction. We destroy any pain, any side temptation. Father, we come against it by the authority of Jesus Christ. Yes, God, We want to live holy before you. We want to live righteously before you. We want to magnify and glorify your holy and precious name. We want to be the sons and daughters that you have called. We want to be that church without spot or wrinkle. And Father God, we want your power to move within us without any type of ramifications or contamination. But Lord God, let our spirits be pure. So Father God, break our hearts. Break us now so that we may be able to be put on the operating table. Then Lord God, any place where there's depression, where there's doubt, where there's animosity, where there's hatred, where there's fear, Lord God, you have not given us the spirit of fear. So Father, remove it out of us now. Let us operate in your love. Let us operate in your joy. Let us operate in your peace. Let us operate with power. Power, God. So we ask, God, that you begin to go into our hearts, pull out anything that's not lined up with your word, pull out anything that's not pleasing in your sight, that we may, God, be whole and be complete, that we may be healed and delivered, that the hurt shall be resolved and removed forevermore, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hear the Bible say, God, I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. I bless your people. I bless your people now. I bless your people now. Yes, God, I stand in the gap, Father, that you meet their needs. Yes, God, bless their children, God, as they go through school, God. And Father God, even though some of them will be returning back, God, oh, Father, I pray that you keep your hands of protection around them right now. We ask that you lift up the hedge of protection over those babies that's going back to the brick and mortar. That, Lord God, you will begin to deliver and heal. And God, begin to manifest yourself. Make your presence known. God, Father, keep them in the palm of your hand. That, Lord God, no sickness nor disease will come their way. God, I speak it over their lives right now, over all children, Father, that Lord God, that they'll be able to get the lessons and the teen training that they need. I pray, Father, that Lord God, that this nation, Father God, begins to be relieved of this burden, Father. But Lord God, if this is your will, Lord God, I pray that everyone turn their hearts and begin to lean and trust and depend on you and call upon your name. That they begin to turn from any wicked way and begin to seek answers from you, God, so we can make sure we're in line with your word. Yes, God, I know that you can do it. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for your hands of protection. Thank you, Father, for the hands of peace over us, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. I just want to worship you right now. Come on, if you're on this line, just come on and give God praise right where you are. Just acknowledge him. He is worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all honor. I know this is not like church as usual, but Lord God, we are going to praise him in spite of whatever come our way. We're going to give him glory and worship him. Yes, yes, we'll use this format. We'll use this platform because God, you still are going to be glorified. You still will be magnified. You still will be lifted up. Yes, God, I thank you. I praise you. Hold up, say none of mine. I give you honor and I give you glory, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this day. Yes, God. Thank you for the joy that resides in our hearts, Father. I pray, Father, an expansion of joy in every life of the believer. I pray, Father, that they'll begin to see your marvelous work, your mighty hand, and your grace and mercy at work over their lives. Father, the spirit of suicide, we come against it now. The spirit of depression, we come against it now. Yes, God, by your authority, by your grace, we thank you, Father. We thank you that you are lifting up that cloud. We thank you, Father, that you are meeting the needs of your people. My God, and I bless you, I praise you, and I honor you. I give you glory right now. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, shandidiabosi. Oh, can shandidiabosi kanda. Hey, God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for meeting our needs, God. Thank you, Lord. Hey, baba sekondo shadidabakiya shanna. Hey, God, I thank you, God. I bless you and I praise you and I magnify your name right now. You are worthy of all praise. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Just a few more minutes. A few more minutes, God. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Bless your name. Bless your name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning to each and every one of you that are on this RTRMI radio podcast. My name is Robert J. Douglas. I am the proud and grateful, humble leader of RTRMI Ministries, which is Restoring the Remnant Ministries, which are located in Tampa, Florida. And we're so glad that you've decided to join us today in our podcast as we begin to jump into the Word of God. I pray that this podcast finds you in a place where you are seeing God's glory and seeing God's hand of mercy upon your life. And if not, then it's not by circumstance, it's not by chance that you are here, but I believe that God has a word for you today. So I again greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that no matter what you are, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, God still is in control of your life. He's got the victory. He's got the plan all laid out for you. All you got to do is trust him. So I'm grateful today. I'm grateful because of the fact, if I can share a few things, that God has allowed us to see another day, and praise God, come tomorrow, if God see fit, I'll be able to see another birthday, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm so grateful that even in the midst of all this turmoil that we have been facing and all these different situations and all these different struggles and strongholds, even in that, God is still doing what he does. He's still preserving. He's still providing. He's still making way. But more so, he's sustaining our lives. Amen. He is sustaining us. And I thank God that even in all of that, he's never too busy to take care of the things that matter the most. Amen. Amen. So again, I am so grateful today. And I do believe that God has a word and has a special place for us today. And I hope that this word finds you where God can magnify himself even the more. If you don't know him as your personal savior, then hang back and stay with us. And let's begin to talk about some things that I believe will bless your heart and bless your mind. But without further ado, I do want to get into a topic that I have today. First of all, I must say this. I thank those of you that had traveled with us to Bradenton. We had a call to a service out there with one of my spiritual mentors, Apostle Bobian, and also Apostle Pender, and some of the members of Holy Hill Church Fellowship. We thank you. God did a mighty work. And actually, that sermon is on this podcast. So if you want to kind of tap into what we were doing, praise God. The last sermon, which was called When the Oil Pours, is the sermon that we spoke last Sunday. I pray that you get that. I believe that it will bless your spirit. So today we have a new sermon today, and I want to talk about a few things. I want to encourage your heart. So if you would turn with me, we're going to first turn to a few things. First of all, we're going to turn to Genesis 1 through 11. And we're also going to go into Ezekiel 12 through 25, and also Isaiah 55 and 11. And these scriptures, I want to have them blessed into your, or write them down if you wish. But I want these to be scriptures that's going to basically set the framework of what we're going to talk about today. Amen. Amen. So Genesis, the first chapter, starting through the first and the 11th verse. And I'm going to kind of give you just a little bit of time to get yourselves there. Many of us have iPads and iPhones and all these different things that we're using nowadays. And that's a blessing because of the fact we're able to get to the word quickly. However, it can be a curse at times because it can be a distraction for us sometimes. It can definitely be a distraction for us. But praise the Lord, God is still in the midst of us. He's definitely still in the midst of us. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Just give me a little bit of time to get that together. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. So now, if you're in Genesis, and we're going to kind of go how the Lord leads in regarding this, and I pray that you bear with me trying to set up some different things as far as with our broadcast, trying to get some different avenues going so that we may be able to share this word in a great capacity. Amen. 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 Genesis, first chapter, first through the 11th verse. And it says, and it's a very, 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 very familiar passage of scripture. At least it should be for many of us. Genesis 1 through 11. And it says that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. 8. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. And let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And it was so. I'm going to jump down to Ezekiel 12 and 25, and this is only one verse. Ezekiel 12 and 25 basically states that, for I am the Lord, and I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. And I want to back those scriptures up with our final scripture, and then we're going to kind of talk about a thing that God has really placed in my heart that I want to be encouraging to you today. And that's Isaiah 55 and 11. And it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The topic or the title of my lesson or my sermon today is, and if you want to write this down on your piece of paper or just put in your memory or refer back to this recording. And the title is, if God has spoken it, then it is so. If God has spoken it, then it is so. If the truth be told, this year we have been basically faced with so many different challenges and so many different difficulties and so many different obstacles that we've had to face. You know, and it's just not in our world as a whole, but even in our own personal and individual lives. You know, some of us have lost our jobs. Some of us have lost different situations that have taken place, and we're struggling again, of course, trying to get our kids ready for school. And many of us have lost loved ones, and all type of different things have taken place over this world in the course of a matter of a few months, in some cases, a matter of a few days, some cases, a matter of a few weeks. But all of us have had our share of struggles and strongholds and battles that we must endure. And at times you want to throw in the towel. You know, sometimes you just want to give up. You just want to call it quits. You just want to just say, hey, I'm fed up. I'm done. Just like my mother says sometimes, I'm just sick of it. And you throw your hands up and you begin to just give up, and you begin to lose that place of hope and desire and just that tenacity or that drive that you had. You begin to just kind of get weary in everything that you have been facing. And you begin to just give up and just throw up the towel. Some of us will, you know, throw in the towel, says, I'm done. I don't want to do this no more. I'm sick of it. I'm going to do something else. And I will say this, that it's many times the circumstances that you may face can justify the way that you may feel. It and let's be real with it, that sometimes you can face some things that are so intense and so overwhelming and so overbearing that anybody would have made that choice or made that decision and said, you know what, we're just going to give it up and just try something else, right? We're just going to give up and just try something else. Amen. We're just going to give up and just try something else. And by doing that, we find ourselves in a place where we are in a place of a pit, where we don't move, we don't go anywhere, we're just stuck. And then there's something that comes in some of us where we decide, you know what, in spite of all, I'm just going to pick up that towel and just, I don't know what's going to happen, I don't know what may be, I don't know what's going to come out of it, but I'm just going to try again. And we search inside of ourselves to try to muster up some type of fighters, muster up some type of energy, or muster up some type of hope or desire inside of us. And it would be great if we could find something that would quicken us, or find something that's going to shake us and give us another hope, even if it's just a glimmer of hope, or it's just something that tells us or gives us some type of direction or gives us some type of insight. Have you ever been in a problem or in a situation and you go around and you're searching for something to help you with that problem? And here's the crazy part about it is, or here's really the most dangerous part about it is that sometimes, you know, we'll go around and we'll tap into resources trying to figure out or get some kind of insight on the situation or the problem that has been faced to us. But there is where we have to be careful. That is where we have to make sure we have to use our spirit of discernment, because all information is not good information. All resources are not valuable resources. Sometimes there's a hidden motive behind the very thing that you are seeking or that you're looking for. Case in point, very simple, very simple. I'm just going to say it like this. Sometimes I'll be trying to figure out certain things I want to do in business, or a certain way to do a particular, say, for example, fix something on my car. It's a predicament. It's a situation. So I'll go onto the internet and I'll begin to search videos. And even though the videos may be informative, even though the videos may be, give me exactly what I need, there is a underlining motive in those videos. And most of the time, what that underlining motive is, if you notice that you'll be watching a video for about maybe 2 or 3 minutes or maybe a minute or so, and all of a sudden a commercial comes up. Well, that underlying motive of that video, of that commercial, is to get you to focus your attention on something that you may need, something that may tempt you, something that may pull you away, something that sometimes seem like to be a part of what you are looking for. And that's just a simple example. That's just a simple example of what I have seen, or what I believe that God is saying in this time. But one thing that I know, and I've realized, that I've come to realize this important thing, that all I need or all we would need to ever come out of any type of predicament, any type of situation, any type of problem or any type of thing, the only thing that we need is a word from God. That's the only thing that we, as believers or non-believers, I don't even go that route, that we need is a word from God. Now, I want you to understand this very thing, that we have to understand that what does having a word from God means. And we as individuals, or we as people, is that we have to have some type of validity, or we have to have some type of validation about where the word is coming from. Let's just be real. It's just plain and simple. If I tell you to do certain things in the stock market, okay? Now, one thing that you would use, or that one thing that you use that would validate, or that would give you some type of hope or trust in what I'm saying, would be my title, which would be as a pastor. And you would say, okay, he's supposed to be a man of God. I believe that he would not steer me wrong. The best interest, or the motive that would be, is to help and not to hinder, is to push forward and not to get any type of monetary gain. However, even in that, when it comes to the title of a pastor, preacher, apostle, whatever the case may be, still there are some that have taken their integrity, or their character is in a place where it's off sync, that you really can't trust the word that they are speaking. Even though it may be a word from the Lord, it may be something that is good, but you have to look at, okay, if it's such a good word, listen to what I'm saying. If it's such a good word, why are you not following it? That's yourself. If I tell you that the word says, and know that you can get into heaven, it's to not lie, to not steal, and to not cheat, but my character tells you something different, then that basically desensitized the word that I've spoken, because it's coming from a man that is flesh, even though it is a word of God. But the character that is aligned with it has to match up. It has to have a certain value. It has to have a certain level. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. It has to have a certain measure of integrity inside of it, so that you can put your trust and your hope in that particular word. If a doctor tells you that if you take this particular pill, it's going to do point A and point B and point C, because the certification or the education of the doctor, you trust the word that he's spoken because he knows what he's talking about in that particular field. If a mechanic tells you that you need to change your starter, or you need a new transmission, or you need this, or you need that, and you have found that mechanic to be consistent in some of the things that he has told you, and he's never steered you wrong, then you put your weight and your validity in the words of what the mechanic says. With our kids, when our teacher says 2 + 2 = 4, because they are a teacher, they're supposed to be school, and in most cases, our kids put validity or trust into what the teacher says. But I want you to understand that we have to know that we can put trust in what God says. Ezekiel speaks of this, for he says it in 12 and 25, and I probably won't be before you too long. Ezekiel 12 and 25 says, and he speaks on behalf of the Lord, and he says that I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. We must understand that when God speaks a word over our lives, when God says anything, when God begins to begin to muster up the breath to give a syllable or a phrase, just like we saw in Genesis, there is activation. There is something that moves behind the word of God. Just like in Genesis, it says that he began to call the firmaments to be separated, and so on and so forth. And when he began to speak these things, it surely happened. We must understand that when God has spoken over our lives, even though we may not see it, even though we may not feel it, even though it may not look like it, may not even look like it's in existence, but that word will surely come to pass. He validates himself by himself. He validates the word by the word that he's spoken over his life. He validates what he says by his own integrity. And when he tries to measure himself up, he cannot measure himself up to anything but himself, because he is a God that he cannot lie. And if God cannot lie, then that means that he will do everything in his power to make sure that the word that he speaks surely comes to pass. Isaiah 55 and 11 says, shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Meaning, when God has spoken a word over your life, when God has spoken a word over you, God has already factored in what that word is going to cost. He's already factored in where that word is going to go. He's even factored in that that word may not always be received by the individual that the word is for. And I'm talking about us. That when he speaks a word and tells you certain things are going to take place in your life, and because of the circumstances where we feel right now and the way that we look at things right now, we may not know, or we may not understand how God's word operates, but we begin to discount God's word. That God, you said that this was going to happen, but it didn't. What? The time is not over. And our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. But here is the thing that we must do. We must trust him. We must trust him to the point, because of the fact that he knows greater than we know. He sees before we could ever see. He's looking ahead 10 years, and we're only stuck in the current year that we are now. Right now, many of us are believing that the word that God has spoken, that we will not get to some of the destinations and goals that he has spoken over our lives. We're looking at our circumstances right now, and we're trying to dictate our next year, our year after that, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 45 years from now, whatever it may be. We are looking at what we see now to try to determine what is to come. But God is more in sync with what's going on in the world than we are. He knows that this particular pandemic is yielding something that is going to be profitable to his glory and to his honor and to his power, because he's a God that knows all things. He's a God that is there from the future. He's there from the past. He's from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and he's the last. He's everything, all of that. So a God that knows all these things, surely he knows how to make his word come to pass. I've learned in my life that a lot of times when I've heard a word that was spoken into existence over my life, of the things that I would walk into and the things that I would do, prophecy, so to speak, all it took was time. Yes, all it took was time. And the thing about it is that God holds the measure and he has his hand on the level of time and how it's supposed to operate. So what we must do is, we cannot look at the circumstance or the situation. We have to know the word of God that he has spoken, stand on his word, but then begin to look at God and allow him to facilitate all the facets of a life to make sure that his word comes to pass. And a lot of times what takes place is, God speaks a word and he begins to allow that word to be performed over the course of your life, because it lays down a track. What that track is a process. And that sometimes that process, we look at the end result, but in actuality, the very word that God has spoken is found in the process. I'm going to paraphrase this to give you an example. Joseph, God gave him a word in a dream, right? And I was thinking about this morning. God gave Joseph a word in his dream that his brothers would bow down to him. But in that dream, he did not show him the process. So what God did, he allowed his word to come back to him full circle, but it took a process for that to happen. See, what we have to understand, when God speaks a word over our life, there is something that starts to activate and begin to move over the waters, move over the earth, and move over the very facet of your own existence and your life. And things started to be put in place to make sure that that word is fulfilled. Yes. My God, I feel that now. He begins to shift things out and shift people in and shift people out so that his word will not return back to him void. Because when God says there is going to be a time that you are going to serve me and you're going to praise me, you may get that word in the club. I remember I was standing in the club, just came fresh out of church, going to the club that night, had on a nice bright white suit. And God sent a prophetic word through somebody that I was actually trying to you know, dance with or whatever it was. And that word that came through her was that you don't belong here. You look like you should be a preacher. And immediately I was upset. I was ticked off. I was mad. I said, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about. And my whole attitude was just thrown off for that whole day. But I failed to realize that the word that was spoken may not be for the time that I'm in, but it's for the time to come. And this time that I'm in is all a part of the process to the word that he has already ordained for my life. So therefore, now we have to be careful about what we choose to believe and not believe. Because a lot of times when God's word begins to go forth, there are also another divisive enemy that's trying to offset your word, that's trying to offset and throw off your plan. God speaks to you and he tells you, you know what? Go ahead and invest in this particular business. Go ahead, I'm going to show you how you're going to be prosperous. And everything in your soul and your spirit is in tune with it. Everything begins to line up. You know, matter of fact, the cost that it would be to invest in it is less than what it would have been because you are operating in the word of God and you're operating in the appropriate timing. You're operating in the right way, in the right move. And so God says, okay, now is the time that you begin to pull out this amount. I know it may be a little bit a lot, but it's less than what it would be because these stocks are going to go up. These stocks are going to go higher than you ever thought. And he begins to give you the ability to move in the operative time, and he begins to speak that word. Now, here comes the enemy. The enemy is going to come now and says, okay, yeah, you shouldn't invest in that. You got this to do. You got that to do. You know, God is not going to be concerned about your bill or this and that. God's not concerned about what if this thing goes left. This happened to Little Willie and them, and this went this way. But that's the word for Little Willie or whoever it was is not the word that God has spoken over your life. See, we cannot take other things and other circumstances that have been done by other people and try to make it fit into the word and the process that God has for us. Because if God has spoken a word over you, it shall be so. It shall come to pass. Rest assured, it's going to come to pass because what God has for you specifically is only for you. It's not for nobody else. That's why sometimes you can't go through the processes that many people can go through. Sometimes it may be quick for you to get to a particular situation, and it may take others years and years and months because the favor of God and the word that he has spoken, he is making sure that the word that he has spoken surely comes to pass. Or sometimes it may be the reverse. It may be where it seems as though that the struggle is harder. You have to move a little slower, or it seems like you have to go through all different types of processes to get to that particular thing that he has spoken. Just like the business idea, you may have to go through this level and go through this process and go through this process and go through this process. And it may seem to be a daunting task. And it may seem like the more that you go through these things and face opposition or face obstacles, that it seems like it gets further and further from what God has already promised and spoken. No, it's not so, because it's actually, it's oh my God. it's actually validating what he has spoken over your life. Yes, it is actually validating what he has spoken. Anytime that you are faced with any type of obstacle or opposition, you must know that word is being challenged. That word is so powerful over your life that thing is, there is a warfare that goes on. There's a warfare that goes on in the spirit realm that tries to get you off track, tries to get you destroyed, try to get you disoriented, try to take you to the left or to the right. It's something that goes on that is trying to pull you away from what God has spoken. And he's trying to get your faith twisted, trying to get your mind twisted, trying to get you in a place where your heart is filled with all kind of malice and hatred and jealousy. And then when you get to that place, it's not that the word doesn't get fulfilled, it's that you walk away from the word. You walk away from what the promise of God says. That's what happened with the children of Israel. They didn't trust the word of God that he spoke. I'm going to bring you to a land of promise, a land of milk and plenty. But because of the oppositions, and they didn't see it right then, they began to murmur. They began to complain. So that thing became long. It seemed to be a longer and longer and a longer process, to the point where they said, you know what? Forget about what God has promised. I want to go back to where it was comfortable. I want to go back to that place. But one thing that I realized is this. God destroyed the place that they came out of. Yes, he did. When the children was going across, was coming out of Egypt, and Moses led them out, and it was such a struggle. You know, he continued, and God did it. He continued to harden Pharaoh's heart more and more and more, where it was a struggle for them to get out. And once they left, God destroyed the place. That God destroyed the Pharaoh that they were under, that were giving them the meat and the potatoes or whatever it was that they had. He destroyed it. They can't go back to it. So now they are forced to go forward in it. I'm so glad that sometimes God will destroy your past. He will destroy and he will tear down certain things or certain comfort zone places, so that we will walk into that and have no choice but to trust in his word. My God, if God has spoken it, then it is so. I remember hearing that God, the prophet, Apostle Bovian, had came to a church, and he has spoken a word over my life, and I didn't realize it. Then I thought it was going to go the other way, but it surely came to pass. But it seems as though when we were coming out of the denomination and trying to be an actual independent church, was restoring the remnant, was on its own. It was so many struggles and oppositions that it felt like that what God has spoken me to do at one time seemed to be. I doubted it. I ain't gonna lie. And sometimes I doubted it. I began to say, God, if this word is what you have spoken, I can understand if it's affecting me because I'm the leader. But it's another thing when it affects me and everybody else that's believing in me. That's a whole nother level. So is it truly your word? And I had to keep on going, even to the point where it felt like that I lost, I actually won. Because God spoke a word, and it was so. That now we are in an actual independent operation of Restoring the Remnant Ministries International. Praise God for that. But the prophet has spoke. He says, don't even worry about this building. Don't worry about this. God is going to do this. And sure enough, through struggles, through heartache, through situations, through losing certain things in life, God began to do what he said he was going to do. And when we begin to see God's hand at work over our lives, we begin to have something inside of us that revives us and charges us, that says, okay, God, you proved it to me once. You can do it again. You proved it to me. I see where it's going. It's coming to pass. You surely said it. It's coming along. It's coming. And I am so grateful. So grateful. My God. So grateful that God just doesn't throw words out there willy-nilly, meaning that he doesn't just say stuff and, you know, just to get you excited. No, when he says something or when he confirms something in your spirit, when he begins to tell you something that's about to take place, he is certain about what he is speaking, and he has already started the process to go ahead and get that thing lined up in your life. You just have to be careful and go through the fastest and go through the different struggles, go through a different stronghold. But I guarantee you that this thing is not taking you away from the word, my brother and my sister, but what it is doing, it is making you better. It is shaping you so that you'll be able to operate in the word that he has, and that you will not get torn down. My God. It's shaping you where he's allowing you, and God has already said this to me. He says, I'm going to allow you to know how to handle yourself when you get there. Yes, I'm going to take you to great places. I'm going to do great things in your life, but I'm going to make sure you know how to handle yourself to get there. Because if you have been to a place where you have struggled for a long time, you want to do everything in your power that you don't get kicked out. I know some of us can testify to that. You've had these jobs over and over again. I'm just going to talk about me for a minute. I had these jobs over and over again, you know, didn't put a lot of emphasis into them, didn't put a lot of care into them, didn't do what I was supposed to be doing. But the minute they come to you, you know, you're like, okay, yeah, we need to have a talk with you. And you already know in your spirit, you try to shape up, you try to come in there early, you try to get everything in line, you be focused on your job, you be doing all kinds of things. But then that wasn't enough. It's too late. You go. I'm sorry, but we have to sever your appointment. We got to, you know, wish you the best, blah, 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 and go about your business. And then God opens up another door for you. And for certain, you're like, I'm going to keep this one. Yes, I'm going to make sure I do this and be there on time and be there early and make. And then you see, you're being trained to operate in where God is calling you to operate in. Because you made your mistakes from the past. You had some disappointments in your past. And now you've made a self-assessment and you've adjusted yourself. You shifted yourself. And now you are in the place where you need to be. God's word will always shape us. God's word will always take us to a place where it's outside of ourselves. That's why I believe that God's word, it's kind of like this. I've preached about it before. You know, I believe that God's word is kind of like the coat that the prophet Samuel's mother made for him, meaning that he was already in a position where she had already gave him over to the, you know, to basically to the prophets, and they were training him and teaching him. But each year, every time when they went up to sacrifice or to get paid their taxes, she would visit the school that he was in and she would bring him a coat. And each year that coat, she had to measure him so that he would grow into that coat, so to speak. So it would last him for a year. So she bought him a coat every year. So say, for example, this is year 2020 and she's going up to see him. She has to make sure that coat has enough room that will allow him to grow into it and not be too short within 2 months or in 3 months or 6 months, because he was constantly evolving, constantly growing into wherever he was at. Growth didn't stop. But she had to kind of anticipate how far he was going to grow lengthwise so that the coat will last him for a year. That's what I believe that God's word does for us, is that sometimes we have to grow into it. We have to fall into it. We have to faith into it. We have to be transformed more and more each day into it. I never thought that I'll be doing what I'm doing right now, but furthermore, I never thought that I would really love and desire to do the things that I'm doing right now, because my plan that I had for my life was completely different. But God saw fit that when he gave me that word at the club that time, coming right after church with my church clothes on, that word was so big that I had to grow into it. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, I had to stumble into it. I had to fumble and stumble and make mistakes and do things the wrong way and seem like, you know, I was doing it the right way. But then God began to just lead and guide me and show me to some things. And am I perfected? No, I don't want to be perfect. I want to constantly strive for perfection. And my perfection is not that I can and fall back and say that I did this and I did that and I did it. I'm so great. I'm a great preacher. I'm a great this. No. That's not my heart. That's not my mindset. And I'm so grateful that I have that, because I don't want to be glorified. I want God to be glorified. I want to see people. I want to see, here it is. I want people to see my struggle, so that they can know that if God did it for me, he surely can do it for you. That's what I want to see. I want them people to see that if God could take a person like myself that has no ability or no this or no idea what to do certain things and do great things with, that surely God's grace and mercy can be upon you, and the word that he has spoken to you could be even greater than what he may take me. That's one of the prayer that I speak for each and every one of you. That's the prayer that I have for my children, that they will grow greater than I am, grow greater than what we could ever do, that they don't fall and make the same mistakes over and over again that I made, but they'll be able to stand on that wisdom and begin to do greater works. That's what the apostles had desired that we do. That's what Christ desired. He's basically said it like this. Here's what had happened. When Christ came on the scene, he did his work. He did great miracles, but he wanted the disciples to do a greater work than what he had done. And when the disciples' time was up and finished, the disciples desired that we do a greater, each generation do a greater work for the kingdom of God. That's why the word that God may speak over your life, even though you may not understand it, even though it may not make sense, but it's not the same word that your forefathers or that your ancestors have gotten. You can't walk in their legacy. You can't walk in their path. You have to walk in the path that God has chosen for you, because he has called you to do certain things that is in design with your very unique abilities and your very unique mindset. And I know you may be jacked up. Matter of fact, we all are jacked up. But God knows how jacked up you are. And he will make that jacked up state be the very same thing that gets you into the door for other jacked up people. And that we will see a glorious move. And a glorious glory be given to the Lord. Never doubt the word that God has spoken over your life. I believe that it surely shall come to pass. It's going to do. And here's what we have to understand. This is one thing that I've learned about God. Is that if God said it, if he said it, you know, that's right, mother. If he said it, you know, like they used to say, if God said it, that settles it. There's no need for me to go and challenge what God has spoken. I may not understand it, but there's no need for me to go and challenge what God said on my life. I know God has called me or is pushing me into role of apostleship. I know that. I ain't even challenging. Now I will say this. At one time I didn't understand it. And because I didn't understand it, I didn't try to run for it out of something I didn't understand. I said, okay, God, if this is what you're going to do, then it's going to come to pass on its own. And I promised him, I said, I want to do it the right way. I want to get an understanding of what is my assignment, what is my calling, and what is my purpose. Even when it came to pastoralship, I wanted to say, God, I don't want to, even when being called to ministry, I remember, and I'm going to go back a little bit. I remember when I was called to be a minister. And I felt the calling of God in my life. And I was uneasy with that thing. I was like, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to. But I knew there was such a pull and strong call on my life. And I began to go to my father, and I told my father, I said, Pop, I said, man, I believe that God is calling me to this. And he already knew. He said, yeah, I know. And it was like, I said, I believe God is calling me to be a minister. And I don't understand it. Because, you know, for the things that I've done, but I just see other people out there and I don't want to be like them. And my father says something that to this day still stands out to me. And it still has actually been a driving force in my life. He spoke to me and he said, you don't want to be like other ministers. I said, yeah, I don't want to be like these guys doing this. And I'm not into that. I see stuff that is not right. And my father said to me, he said, well, that's why God has called you. God has called you to be different. God has called you to do it in a different way, not outside of the word of God, but show the right way that needs to be done. That's why there's a calling on your life. That's why he's calling specifically you. That's why he called specifically me, because I had that same thing. And that's what takes place, is that when God begins to call you, sometimes you don't really want to do it. You don't really want to do the things that he's telling you to do, because it's outside of your comfort zone and it's outside of what you see other people do. But sometimes God will call someone that he knows that has the heart to serve and to please him, and that has the heart to be teachable, has the heart to be to learn from mistakes, has the heart to learn. And he will use that greatly and mightily. Look at David. David had a heart to please God. David was anointed king before he became king. It took a whole little period of time for him to come into whatever God had happened to be. But yet and still, that word that God has spoken surely came to pass. It surely happened. It was there. It came. When God spoke a word over Jeremiah, he says, before I formed thee, I knew thee, and I called you to be a prophet. God already knew, before even he was created naturally, he already knew the purpose and the plan for his life. See, what we have to understand is that we know the purpose and the plan for, that God knows the purpose and the plan for our lives. He knows that there's going to be a time where you're going to face adversity. There's going to be a time where you're going to face a struggle, and how you're going to go past that struggle. And the thing about it is that even though you may face that struggle, and I've had some different pitfalls and different crossroads in my life, and even when I made the wrong decision, his grace and mercy still was there to catch me so that I wouldn't fall all the way out and out of his plan, but to catch me and to give me mercy and grace that I can get it together and get back on the right track and begin to try it again. And begin to try it again, and to begin to try it again, and to begin to try it again, stumble and fall, and begin to try it again. Just men fall us many times, and they get up. They don't stay there. We can't let the word that God has already spoken of our life just is not going to give up on him, because there's going to be something that's going to come into your life and going to shake you and pull you and yank you out of whatever mindset that you're in. It's going to yank you and shake you, and then it's going to allow you to get refreshed and get back focused. And then God is going to begin to, that same time frame that you spent in that place of trying to get yourself together, that curve is going to come around, and it's going to shorten your time span, meaning that you thought you were wasting time. God says, okay, well, I'm going to let you do this process, but I'm going to change the course of many things. And when you think that you were behind time, I'm going to put you right on schedule. That's how awesome God is. That's how awesome he is, and that's how his hand is over our lives. He knows everything about us. He knows exactly what we don't want to do. He knows exactly what we have a problem with. Matter of fact, he knows the people that, honestly, I'll be straight up honest with you, and you raise your hand and say hallelujah. He knows the people that you don't even like. Ain't that something? And it's interesting that even the ones that you know that you don't even like, he puts those people in your surrounding. He put those people right there in your circle. He put those people right there. Yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. He put them right there so that you can see them on a day-to-day basis. And you could just sit there and look at them and see all the stuff that you don't like. And he begins to just challenge your heart, and he'll tell you to do something. Matter of fact, you'll be trying to avoid them, and they just come. You go to the left door, and they'll come back around and meet you head on and say, you'd be like, God dog it. Hey, girl, how you doing? Hey. And here's the thing. And they'll ask you to pray for them. They'll ask for your advice. They'll ask for your wisdom. They'll ask for your counsel. And it's be the very thing that you, the people that, I'm be honest with you, it's the people that you don't even, that just frustrate you to oblivion. But yeah, see, that's what it is. God is shaping you, and he's molding you, and he's putting the people that you say you don't like, because how can you get into heaven? How can you be this great prophet or this great wonder or this do these great things if you can't love the person that needs you the most? How can we say, and this is kind of my heart, how can we be the body of Christ? How can we say that we want to go to heaven, right? How can we say that we want to go to heaven and see Jesus and to see our loved ones and to see all these different things when we have not even, you know, we have not even walked into the word that we're living on the ground? Love thy neighbor. Do not talk bad about a neighbor. Forgive. Intercede, pray, meet the need of the person. These are the words that God has spoken over our lives. This is our challenge. To feed the homeless. That's our challenge. That's how many times have we seen, I've done it too. And sometimes I'm convicted. And most of the times I've gotten to the point of like just going and just doing it. Sometimes you'll see the same person over and over again sitting at the same corner. And you look, I look at their shoes. I look at their shoes. I look at everything. I look at the little cup they have. I look at everything they have. But you know what? I'm wrong because I shouldn't even judge them. If God has told me to give them something, I should go ahead and give it. It ain't taking nothing away from me. Matter of fact, it's adding to me. If he says, go ahead and give him a dollar, just go ahead and give him a dollar. And walk with. Now, if he says don't give nothing to him, then follow that word. You have to follow the word of God, because sometimes God will allow you to see certain things, but it may not be for you to meet that actual need. It may be for you to intercede. It may need be for you to say, you know what, I'm just going to pray for this brother. Or it may even be for you just to say, hey, how you doing? It's been many times I had ones, I had money in my hand, I had money in my pocket. I don't know why I'm going this way. Maybe it's going to bless somebody. I've had like money or ones or change in my car when I'm riding. I see somebody, they'll come up to my window, and God will specifically say, don't give them cash. Just talk to them and listen to them. Don't give them cash. Just talk to them. Because a lot of times we give away what we think the need is, and we miss the true need of what it is. And so there's one particular time I had said, hey man, what's going on? Tell me what your story is, you know? And I had the money. I had the money. He would not let me give him anything. And I just talked to him and listened to him. And I just listened to his whole story. It was like maybe it was less than 2 or 3 minutes. And he gave me a story. And there was a level of truth to it that I could not deny. And I began at that moment to say, you know what, man, I'm going to pray for you. I believe that you everything is going to be good. And then, right then, that's when God told me to go ahead and release. But I didn't release the money. What I did was I told him, say, hey, I tell you what, meet me over here. It was right there next to something. And I went inside and bought him a sandwich or bought him something. And he was grateful. But I took the time at that time to just listen to what he was. And a lot of times we'll pass by the word that God is speaking to us or what he's saying. He's saying, okay, do this, go to the left, go to the right, go to this. And it's outside of your comfort zone. So how do you think that you're going to get this great big word that he's already promised you? Oh, you're going to be prosperous. You're going to be successful. You're going to be a millionaire. You're going to be a millionaire. But if you're going to be a millionaire, God may alter that word if he knows that in your heart there's selfishness. In your heart, there is, you know, there's this thing about pride. There's this thing about showing and different things like that. If he sees that in your heart, he's going to process that first so that the word can come to pass. He's going to make sure. So he has to make sure that you're a channel of the very thing that you receive, and that you when he gives you that thing, that you know how to distribute it out to other people. It's not really for you a lot of times. It's for you to distribute it out to other people. I've had money that I just given out to different people. Matter of fact, did different things for so many people many times, and I'll be down to last. But when I get to last and all my bills are paid, I said, thank God I did what you told me to do. I paid my tithe, paid the bills. You told me to sow this, sow that, do this and do that, help this person do this, this and that. And I may not have anything, nor would I ask for anybody. I may not have nothing. And God will always supply all of my needs. And he'll bless other people too in that same capacity, because it's the fulfillment of what the word of God says. In my life, I believe that God said, this is the word that he's spoken over me and spoken over you. I shall be first and not last. I shall be the lender and not the borrower. I shall be healed and not, y'all better catch hold to that thing right there. I shall be healed and not sick. The word of God is the word that he's speaking over your life. He's speaking all the prosperity that you need, but there's a process that has to go along with it. There's a process. And here's the thing. I remember the old people would say, and I'm about to close, is to take him at his word. Take him at his word. He tells you to take him at his word. I believe it's in the book of Malachi. It says to try him and see. When he tells you to give your tithes to the storehouse, or give to the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And then, then I will open out the windows of heaven, that men will give from their, I'm paraphrasing, but that what he says is he tells you to try him. He is so, man, God is so awesome that he'll say, you know what? Try me. Y'all know this. Y'all know how we do in the streets. Try me. Just try me. If you don't think that what I said is going to come to pass, you don't think I would do what I said, well, just try it. Try me and see. Just like how we would be in the streets and, you know, people say, well, I'm going to take you down. I'm going to take you. You ain't going to do nothing. You ain't going to do nothing. Okay, you don't think I'm going to do something? Try me. It ain't going to go good for you, right? So God says that, but he says it in a way of saying, try me. Try me and see. And see that I am the God that you are talking. See that I am the God that I say that I am. Try me. Trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me. And I guarantee you, if you trust me for this one incident, I'm going to bless your life completely. Because I have to validate what I say. If I have created you, I have to sustain you. And especially if you have turned your life back over to me and said that I'm going to be your Lord and I'm going to be your shepherd, then I got to lead you to the green pastures. I got to take you through the shadow of death that you shouldn't fear no evil. I have to lead you to those places. Even though you may walk through those valleys and those shadows, you're not going to die there. I'm going to lead you through it. I'm going to let you see it just enough to know that I've taken you away from it. It could have been this way, but it's always going to be this way if you stay close to me. Let me lead and guide you. And I say this to each and every one of you at the sound of my voice. My brothers and my sisters and mothers and all those that are associated with us or not associated with us. You may come onto this podcast at a later time. But I say this, trust God. Trust God when you can't even trace God. And what I mean by trace God is that you don't even see him. Trust him. There should be something in your spirit, because your spirit should, of course, be God's spirit. There should be something in your spirit that begins to say, you know what? It don't look like this thing is going to ever pass, but I just believe God. I will take him at his word. He said in his word that he's going to do this, this, and this, and I believe that he will. That's all you got. Even if you ain't got nothing else, take God at his word. Trust him and see that he's going to be the Lord. And I guarantee you, if you're dealing with depression, you're dealing with doubt, just trust him. Trust him when he says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning, and that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And what you have to do, even in that word, you got to look at the word. You got to research the word. You got to understand what it means. And as you go and try to understand what it means by reading the word of God, you will find the path to get to that place where you need to be. You're going to in the word of God, in the Bible. That's why it's important that we read the word of God, because the word of God is going to take us. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts down to the sinews, meaning that it's like that knife that if you go to your drawer right now and go into your kitchen and you get the sharpest knife that you have. Okay, now imagine that knife, because most times we don't have a knife that has two edges on it. But imagine that knife has a blade on the bottom side and a blade on the top side. Okay, and there are some knives that are like that. But imagine that knife has a sharp, sharp, sharp blade on the bottom side and a sharp blade on the top side. Okay, and you begin to take a piece of meat. Okay, and you take the knife. And you put it on a cutting board, right? And you, matter of fact, this is for example, get it in your mind. You put the piece of meat that has all kind of bones and meat sticking to the bones. But imagine you have this knife that you start with the tip of it and put it in the middle of that knife, right? Close to the bone where the meat is. And that blade is so sharp and it's a double-edged sword. Listen, I want to get this visual. That if I start moving the knife to the top or to the left, it cuts. As I move it to the right, it cuts. I don't have to turn the knife over. I don't have to do nothing with the word. I can move it anywhere in it. Matter of fact, I can even go from the bone and start going down into the meat, and it begins to cut and separate. Or I can go back up and it begins to cut again and separate. That's how the word of God is. The word of God is designed that it really does two things. My God, it does two things. The word, it begins to cut anything that is not conducive to us, meaning that it will cut hatred. It'll cut animosity out of our heart. It'll do all those different things. It'll take those things out. Okay, that's what it does. But the other edge of that sword, in visual parity, if that's a word, is as it's cutting away those things that are meant to do us harm, it is also cutting in the things that are meant to do us good. Love, goodness, mercy, temperance, all these different things. That's what the two-edged sword in this representation, God is showing me that it is that even though it may be cutting away from you and it may hurt, it's also preparing you that you can also heal. In any major surgery, if there is a tumor that they consider to be cancerous, they're going to try to cut as close as they can, getting as much of that tumor as they can or any residue that seems to be cancerous. And sometimes they may have to cut deeper than they anticipated by looking at the x-rays. But their goal is to save your life. Sometimes God has to cut you with his word that he can save your life. Because the word that he has originally promised you, he has to pull and strip certain things away from you so that you can walk into that word without any contamination, without being able to prosper in that word, that you'll be healed, that you'll be delivered, and that you won't have any type of residue when you walk into that word that he has promised. God cannot give you something that he knows that you will not be able to sustain. He won't do that to you. He doesn't give you a blessing that he knows is going to be a struggle or a stronghold for you. The only way that I've known God to do that is if we begin to beg God for something that he doesn't feel that we deserve or that we should need right now, or it might be in a proper timing. And he will do that sometimes, not to be a bad guy, not to be a jealous God, but sometimes we are just hard-headed individuals, and he has to show you, okay, you think you can handle this? Okay, here you go. I'm watching. You said you can handle it. You wouldn't trust me, so let me go ahead and let you kind of drown a little bit so you can see that you really absolutely need me and you need my direction. And the minute that we cry out and we recognize and realize that, he'll come, take that thing away, and then put us back on track to where we need to be. But we have a new reverence. Sometimes we're hard-headed. I know sometimes there's some things in my life I've just been hard-headed on. And he said, okay, since you hard-headed, let me go and let this happen for you. Let me let you lose this, so let me let you do this, and so that you can see. And then the next time, you sure enough will get it next time. You're sure enough. You will sure enough get it. And you will take God at his word. God, you said, okay, that settles it. That's it. If we think about all of our ancestors and all of our patriarchs that have gone into the faith, my father and mothers and all those different things, people that are there, they have lived a life that they've seen times like this. They've seen things happen in their lives from years and years of past. And we may not have had all the different advancements that makes it easy for us, but they had even a harder road or a harder struggle because the world had not been developed at that time like it is now. And they had these same issues and these same trials and these same situations that they had to face. And they had to do nothing but trust in God's word. They couldn't trust in the government. They weren't getting any type of stimulus check. They weren't getting deliveries, you know, delivered to their home. They weren't getting, the stores were completely shut down at all. They did none of that stuff. They didn't have stores half of the time. But they had to trust God and to take him at his word, and they had to basically listen to whatever he said for them to do and walk in that. God says, go left. God says to take this. God says to do. They had nothing else to do. Even when they didn't understand the literal word of God, they had to trust what they knew and but they actually had to kind of almost go to a point of, well, I believe God will want me to do this. And from what my understanding is of who he is and what my understanding of what this way, that's why some of our scriptures have been a little bit twisted. I'll be honest with you. That's why some of the scriptures that we say, you know, and I'm not knocking them, but it was just their understanding that they did to try to make sure that they were in the pattern in the life of God. Like one scripture I know that is real, real very nice. God would take those, he would take your sins and throw them in the sea of forgiveness. There's no sea of forgiveness. It's not in the scripture, but he says that I will remember them no more. So they basically took what they needed to take to get an understanding so they could get it in their mind. And they would be able to say, okay, God says my sins are gone, so I'm not going to be condemned. I'm not going to walk in this condemned. I'm just going to go on and I'm going to do better, be better. That's what they had to do. They had to take God at his word. That's what they understood of it. They took it and say, okay, if you said this, I don't understand it. I'm going to figure it out as I go. But a lot of times for us, we get so caught up in all these different stuff, and we got to be careful. And I'm going to say this because it's been on my heart, and I don't hope that many of us are not into all this stuff. There are a lot of things that have been designed to get you off course and get you off track, to get you spiritually, to get you off kilter. Now, you may not like what I'm about to say. Some of you may or may not. I don't care. That's not a problem. I'm responsible for giving you what God says. If you are a Christian, you are a believer, you believe that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you believe that Christ died on the cross so that you may have everlasting life, that, you know, that he died for your sins, and that you would have if you follow him and, you know, you go through the process of everything, I'm just paraphrasing, that you will see him when you die, that you, you know, if you keep your life and strive to be more like him, that you'll, you know, come into a place where you'll be able to go into heaven and so on and so forth, yada, yada, yada. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm just kind of just trying to make this quick. Okay. If you have believed those things, right, you're reading the word of God, you're understanding what it takes. You know that you cannot do certain things in your life. You got that basic understanding. Be careful, because there's other things that seem to be spiritual, but not of God. Burning sage and all these different things, trying to get negative spirits and all that. That's not of God. That's not of God at all. Matter of fact, you conjure up certain spirits to come into your life, into your household. You're looking at these power crystals and all these different things. And, you know, this crystal gives me energy and you putting it in water and you drink it. No. That's not of God. You look at the word of God and see, did they put any crystals in their water or any of this stuff? That's not of God. going back and grabbing hold to all these different gods of Africa and Israel and Spain and all these different things, and taking on these particular characteristics of the goddess of this and the goddess of that and all this Oshara, and knowing you're being woke and all these different things. No, that's not of God. That's not of God. It's just designed to get you distracted. It's just designed to get you off course. It's just designed to get you. And I'm not talking about all these just like what you see on different things here and there. I mean, it is a rooted thing, and you have to be careful. You have to be careful. If God has spoken a word to you, you have to take God at his word, and don't try to entertain it with anything else that tries to supplement or to help God along. God doesn't need any type of help. Now, many people may say, yeah, we do oil and all that stuff, but oil is just a point of contact. It's just a symbolism, but we're not worshiping the oil. We look at the cross, right? We don't worship the cross, the physical cross itself. But we look at the cross, and it is a symbolism of what Christ did and what he sacrificed on the cross. We don't worship the Virgin Mary. Mary was just a vessel that God used to bring Christ on the scene. Yes, she has her place where she was obedient to her assignment, and the word was spoken through her and fulfilled through her. But we don't reverence Mary higher than Christ and higher than God. We don't put her in that. No, we don't put that worship in her. Mary has no power. Mary has no ability. The only power, the only thing that we worship is our God, our Father, Jesus Christ, which is the triune God, the Holy Spirit, triune God, three, operating in three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're the same God, eternally existent in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have to understand what we believe. And it takes us reading the word of God so that we will know, so that we're not caught up in every winded doctrine. Because that's what happens, is you get caught up in a social issue. I'm being honest. We'll get caught up in a social issue. And yes, the social issue is not supposed to happen. It should not happen. Don't stand for it. I don't agree with it. The Black Lives Matter movement, I do not believe that people should be treated the way that they have been treated. Honestly, I'll be honest with you. It goes far beyond Black, even though we get more of the resistance. We get more of the, seems like a lot of things are happening to our race. But I believe, as we are Christians, any race, any creation of God, any creation did not deserve to be treated harshly. Now, our culture has been hit harder because it has really been the forefront of a lot of things. We've taken a lot of hits, and that's not right. And I believe that God is going to judge those that have done those things that have not repented from those sins. And I pray that God protects all of us and keeps us in his care and perfect peace, that we protect even our children and the next generation. But one sin does not validate another sin. Honestly, if something happens to me or my family, it doesn't validate another sin for me to have hatred against somebody else. It really doesn't. That's just the word of God. But I said all this so that we can be careful, that we begin to know this thing that we believe, that we begin to study to show ourselves approved and rightly divide the word of God. I pray that God begins to allow you to understand and begin to give you detail in the very essence of your purpose and the plan that he has for your life, so that you will know without a shadow of a doubt that he has called you to certain things, that he values you, that he has purpose for your life, and that he has not let you fall. He will not let you falter. He will provide all of your needs and get you to the place that which he has promised. We just have to trust him, walk in his standards, and begin to go through the process of allowing our hearts and minds to be shaped in the likeness and the image of Jesus Christ. That's where the blessing, that's where the authority, that's where the power comes from. That's what it is. We have to allow ourselves, our flesh, to be crucified so that he can be glorified. That's all we should be striving for. It's not our power. It's not our ability. It's through him that we have and move and have our being. And I speak and pray that God's hand of grace and mercy be upon your life so strong. I come against every struggle, every stronghold, every demonic attack that tries to destroy you and your family. I believe that God's hand of protection and grace is going to carry you into that blessed place that he has ordained for your life, that your weeping may endure for a night, but he's going to shower you with joy like never before. It's going to overtake you. It's going to illuminate you. It's going to take you to the place of peace. It's going to take you to that place where God will allow you to see his glory, that you'll be able to love and worship him and be grateful and be thankful for all the things that he has done and that he is doing. I believe that God's hand is on your life. I plead the blood of Jesus over every sickness and disease, that you shall not die, but you shall live and declare the glorious glory of God. I come against cancer and all these diseases. I come against the coronavirus epidemic, that I command it to dry up and go back to the pits of hell from which it came. But I also pray, God, that even in this epidemic, in this time, that people will begin to see you and all of your glory, will call out to you and you will answer, to know that you are the God that healeth thee. I pray that souls are transformed and renewed back into the glorious rest of the word that you have spoken over your life. And God, I thank you, I praise you, and I give you honor and I give you glory. And if there be one right now that do not know Christ as their personal savior, I pray, Father, that if they're listening to this podcast, that they'll begin to give in to that pulling in their heart, which is by way of the Holy Spirit. And they'll begin to just surrender themselves to you right now. And they can repeat right after me that, Father, I'm a sinner. Today, I make you my Lord and my savior. I know that your son died on the cross for my sins, that my sins can be forgiven. And Father, I know that you died, you were buried, and you rose again, and you have all power in your hands. And because of that, I know that you are on the right hand of the throne of God, interceding on my behalf. And Father, I right now ask that you come into my life. I make you my Lord. I make you my Savior. Lead and guide me, that I may be better, that I may know the word, that I may see you in these end times. Take anything out of my heart that's not pleasing in your sight. And Lord God, allow me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that I may be able to walk and be led and guided into a place that I will constantly grow into what you have a desire for me to be. And right now, at this time, I pray, I go back to the very pits of the beginning of my life, and I come against every struggle and stronghold that the enemy has designed and put in place to try to snare and snap, to trap me and to allow sin to come to life. I cancel the assignment now by the blood of Jesus Christ. I cancel every generation curse over my family. I cancel every blood trap and everything that tries to trap the souls of the people. But I am healed, I am delivered, and I am set free in Jesus' name. If you have said that prayer, then God has welcomed you into the kingdom. And I celebrate the fact that you are saved and you shall be sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that you at this time then begin to find a Bible teaching, Bible believing church that will allow you to grow into the very things that will walk you and teach you and show you the ways that God has and the purpose for your life and make it plain and simple. You're not in this alone. If you would like, you can join us with join up with RTRMI, which is Restoring the Remnant Ministries. Our website is rtrmi.org. And please contact with us. And we are here to help you, to lead and guide you. But if not, please find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church that's in your area and that is teaching the word of God, line upon line and precept upon precept, where Christ is being preached. And I guarantee you, your life has changed and will never be the same. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Praise God. Come on and just worship him. Just give him honor. Just give him glory. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to that power that still worketh and rules in us. Amen. Amen. I challenge each and every one of us that we begin to walk into the very word that God has ordained for our lives. I pray that God begins to do supernatural above your ever understanding. I pray that he begins to come in like a flood and show himself strong to you, that you'll know that if God has spoken it, then it is so. This is Pastor Robert J. Douglas. I'm here. If you need me, call me. But for this day, I pray that God bless you, God heal you, God deliver you. But today I know that you have been delivered. I know that you have been healed, but better yet, you have been restored. God bless you.